The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend-geneer. He's a friend, he's an engineer, and he's my producer, Bob Dio. Looking good there, Bob. I love the dark French blue shirt and wearing a tie. I'll tell you, Bob's got a lot of class. He comes dressed for the Buckmaster Show. Together we welcome you to Buckmaster Midweek Edition. It is Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. You are listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Of course, we have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, also kvoi.com. All of our podcasts are available for you 24/7 on your schedule. Just go to buckmastershow.com. The live line number, 790-2040. If there's any time during the hour that you would like to contribute to the program, we welcome you to do so. We get things rolling with the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She's internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about Dr. Mazes at her website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com, or follow her on Twitter at VMazes. Dr. Mazes with us now on the live line from the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine. How are you, Dr. Mazes?
I'm doing well. It sounds so nice when you say that.
Yeah, in fact, we changed, and I know that your website has changed that also to reflect that, and we followed suit with your bio at buckmastershow.com and added that as well. So, but I like the sound of that.
Now, if you take the letters Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine,
Yeah. The
acronym is AWCIM, and it's pronounced awesome.
Hey, that is cool, and I can certainly see it is a very awesome place to be. Knowing you and Dr. Weil like I do, you guys are awesome. Another person who is awesome. I spent a half an hour telephonically doing a phone conversation from London with best-selling author Johan Hari. He had just released his book earlier this year, Dr. Mazes' Lost Connections. I found the book fascinating, and it's basically kind of a different approach to the story about depression and anxiety. What were some of your thoughts of some of the reading that you've done about his work?
Well, I agree. I think that his telling is important. He is willing to talk about his own experience with depression as a young person, and that as a teenager he was basically told, well, it's a chemical imbalance and your serotonin is not normal, and you know, when we give you the medicines, you will be better. And I think that in some ways he really resonated with that story, but sadly, the way to address it, which was to treat him with medications to change his serotonin levels, didn't do him much good. And he was talking to a friend and said that just recently he'd been told the same thing, except now he was told he had a problem with dopamine, another neurotransmitter in the brain, and that if we could just correct the dopamine level, that will be correct, and the depression will resolve. And what Johan has written about is that depression, there may be a change in the brain, but perhaps it's due to changes in other factors, things that are happening in our social lives, you know, the absence of meaning in our lives, things that are happening in the larger environmental context, and that when we address those things, when we address our culture, essentially, we also can find very substantial improvements in our mental health.
And economic conditions also are one of the things that Johan talked about. People in who are really in a difficult time economically tend to have some depression as well, rightly so, I would think.
Yes. So he pointed to a really interesting experiment that was carried out in the 1970s in Canada. And in a small rural town in Manitoba, they told the folks in the population that from now on, you will receive a guaranteed small income, and that you don't have to do something for it. You don't have to work. You're getting this because you're a citizen, and nothing will take it away from you. And it was about $17,000 in today's U.S. dollars, and this was if they didn't have any other source of income, so it wasn't across the whole population. And the interesting thing is what they found, it was a three-year study, what they found was a significant fall in hospitalizations, almost 10% over a three-year period. And the biggest part of that 10% reduction was mental health. You know, people were simply less stressed. They maybe didn't have no stress, but they were less stressed. And, you know, that's one of the pieces, and there are other pieces as well, of the evidence that if you have no sense of control, you're actually more likely to become depressed.
He also gets into the social interaction, how that can play such an important role in dealing with depression. People who are isolated feel very, in many cases, very hopeless. And he pointed out some experiments that were done in the London area of social interaction of these very depressed people getting together, and there was a change.
Yes. So in that example, which took place in a place called Everington, the people who were depressed were told they would continue to get their medicines if they wanted it. It wasn't to remove or deprescribe or anything like that, but that they were also being offered a kind of group therapy. And essentially, there were a group of 20 people with depression who twice a week were asked to come and work on the land behind the clinic. And essentially, over weeks and months and over time, you know, even years, they began to garden. And they began to talk with one another about their problems, and it had a really significant effect on reducing the amount of depression. And this kind of social intervention has been repeated in Norway, and it was formally studied there, and it was found that it was twice as effective as pharmaceutical medicines in terms of reducing depression.
So is the jury out on this whole question of brain chemistry, Dr. Mazes?
Well, I mean, there's, I'd say yes, the jury is out. I mean, it's really interesting that we thought it was serotonin and then we thought it was dopamine, and there's also some evidence that it's inflammation. You know, the chicken and the egg, I mean, the fact that you have some changes in brain chemistry, why did they get there? Did they get there as a result of the depression, or did they cause the depression? And then there are some newer kinds of therapies that work really quickly. For example, one of the therapies that just got FDA approval is a medicine called ketamine. And ketamine was used intravenously. The new FDA approved is actually an intranasal, but it works very rapidly. So this idea that you have to gradually reset the neurotransmitters in the brain, which is how medicines like Prozac and Zoloft and Paxil work, doesn't fit with the fact that some people have really rapid response to these other medicines. So it's I would say there's probably multiple causes. Some could be biological, including a genetic propensity to have insufficient amounts of certain neurotransmitters. Some could be psychological. You know, how do you feel about yourself? What's your self-esteem? Are you happy with the way your life is unfolding or not? Some could be social. You mentioned social isolation, and that can be a cause of depression.
And of course, we've talked about this before, Dr. Victoria Mazes. We've talked about exercise for people who have perhaps mild to even moderate issues with depression. Exercise can really be a wonderful shot in the arm.
Yes, it can. It is one of the things that absolutely has been shown to be effective. And some of the studies actually look at exercise in nature. Of course, right now it is so beautiful here in Arizona, and yep, getting outside for as little as 5 minutes a day has been shown to boost self-esteem and mood. It does it in men and women, in young and old, but it's actually even more effective for people who are depressed. So it's sometimes hard to get oneself motivated when one's depressed, but 5 minutes is a small amount. It's not, oh, I have to go for a, you know, 3-hour hike. Just 5 minutes.
Well, and that 5 minutes gives you a little bit of vitamin D, doesn't it, right now?
Absolutely. And the vitamin D, or maybe even other properties of being out in the sunshine or looking at our beautiful mountains or the cactus or the wildflowers in bloom, all of these elements of nature, being aware of our senses in a different way, can all contribute to that enhanced mood state.
Okay, and I'm going to do a quick show plug about Johann Hari. We're going to rerun that interview, Dr. Mazes, 1 week from tomorrow. That'd be Easter Monday here on the Buckmaster Show. If people want to tune in and check out that interview that I did with him in January, some very good information there. Dr. Mazes will stick around. We'll talk some more with her on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It is Buckmaster, and we want to tell everybody right now about my favorite bakery. Wow, I just got some great news from Steve, owner and chief baker. He's cleared just about all of the permitting process for getting that hot breakfast and getting the grill already. I think they've got just one more folk that needs to sign off. I think it is from the health department or something. They've got to get the final permit, but they'll be ready to go probably within days at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They'll be open once they get the hot breakfast going at 6:30 in the morning. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. You can go to monasdanishbakery.com or a link to buckmastershow.com. There's a link to all of our great partners on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back with Dr. Mazes. 790-2040 if you'd like to contribute to the conversation. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. Dr. Mazes, the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Let's move on now, Dr. Mazes, from discussing depression to an issue that a lot of people are concerned about, and that's being overweight. Interesting study that was done of former contestants of the NBC show The Biggest Loser. This was conducted, this study, by the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Mazes, what was the bottom line from that study?
Well, this was a study that really, really disappointed people and led to tremendous distress in people trying to lose weight. And that was because two things happened. One was almost all of the participants regained their weight after being off of the show and no longer having the support, let's say, of the team there. But also, their metabolism had changed, and so they weren't burning as many calories, and therefore they had to eat even less than you would perhaps expect.
Yeah, and I think the thing that, and I read the report and the highlights of the study, the thing that was interesting is how this metabolism changing really, really could have long-term implications, Dr. Mazes.
They could. And I think what I'd love for your listeners to appreciate is that that's about as an extreme an example as one gets. You know, when you put people on a very limited calorie diet and you exercise them for hours every day, and that's not going to be the norm. That's the kind of extreme situation that people sometimes watch on television, essentially. And the important thing is that for most people, how are we going to determine what success looks like and what are we going to do to maintain the weight loss? Because obviously one of the things you can see on shows like that is that losing the weight is actually not the greatest challenge. The greatest challenge is keeping the weight off. And to keep the weight off, you have to find a lifestyle that you enjoy, not a lifestyle that you find painful or impossible to do long term.
What is a sensible way? Let's talk about some strategies that do make sense, Dr. Mazes, to losing weight.
So there are a lot of things that can be done, and, you know, having a realistic goal for sure is one of them, because a lot of people, when they start to think about losing weight, you know, start thinking about being thin or being at the weight they were when they were 18 years old. And that may not be a realistic goal. We know that losing 10% of your body weight, which, you know, like for a 250-pound person who's not very tall, perhaps, that would be 25 pounds, can have enormous health benefits. So, you know, say you're 5'3" and you weigh 250 pounds and your goal becomes 225, you may not look so different to yourself, and yet your blood pressure can normalize, your risk of diabetes can go down, or your blood sugars can normalize. So an appropriate goal, that's really important.
You know, that, that's the key, an appropriate goal, because being thin, or what we consider to be thin, doesn't always translate into perfect health.
Oh, and that is true as well. I mean, and there's certainly studies that would suggest that being fat and fit is healthier than being thin and unfit. So fitness, you know, are you moving? Are you getting exercise? There's been so many studies that suggest that exercise, you can't exercise your way to weight loss, because you just have to do so much exercise, you know, to make up for that one scone, for example, or that one Big Mac or French fries. However, exercise does affect our metabolism. It does contribute to our heart health. It helps prevent cancer. It keeps our mood up, as we talked about in your first segment. And so exercise is absolutely important. And there's a particular kind of exercise called high-intensity interval training, where you up the ante really briefly, and that can increase your metabolic rate. So this would mean, say you're exercising is walking for 45 minutes. Well, a few times during that walk, you would have a burst of running for maybe 45 seconds to a minute, and then you'd go back to walking. And then 5-6 minutes later, again, you'd have a burst where you would run, and then you would go back. And if running isn't good for you because of your knees or something else, you can do other forms of bursts of exercise that increase your heart rate and your metabolism.
All right, let's go to caller Matthew at 790-2040. Go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, yeah, and Dr. Mays is, you know, I really appreciate everything you put out, and it's, you know, great information. You know, two things real quickly. One, how do you tell people the difference between being depressed chronically versus just, you know, having a couple bad days a month or something, and what they should look for? I know, you know, from my own personal experience, you know, real depression, you know it when you've had it. it don't go away in a day.
Okay.
Second, the whole concept of, you know, I spent my whole life in the reserves training. It's really hard to be a reservist because you have to work a full-time job, and then two days out of the year you have to be perfect for the Army. And it's hard to maintain weight, height, and all the rest. I've gone through my entire life. And I've always found, though, in the big picture, less is more. You succeed by focusing on consistency and just minimal goals that you can actually, you know, maintain over a long period of time. That sometimes, you know, trying to lose 25 pounds is just not going to happen.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. Bye. Go ahead, Dr. Mays.
Yeah, thank you so much for your compliment and also for your questions. I completely agree with you. Everyone's going to have occasional bad days. That's part of being alive, that there are days when we feel sad, distressed, dismayed, despair, you know, take the full range. That is going to be part of a normal life. The official definition of depression is that at least five of a long list of symptoms have to be present consistently for 2 weeks. So we're not talking about an occasional day. We're talking about 2 weeks of depressed mood, loss of pleasure in almost all activities, a disturbed sleep, fatigue, feelings of worthlessness, difficulty thinking or concentrating, and sometimes thoughts of death or suicide. So that's an extreme situation where those feelings and mood states are present consistently for 2 full weeks. So it's not the occasional sad day. And then your remark about being active, and your particular example of like when you show up for reserves, you really have to be in good shape, and the importance of consistency is what I hoped I was pointing to when I said that it's about lifestyle. It's about the things we can do consistently, and that'll be different for different people, but to create a lifestyle that you can only sustain for a few days of the year may work in the reserves, but it's not going to work for us in terms of our long-term goals for good health. So it doesn't mean we never miss a day, but on balance, on most days, we can eat a certain way and exercise a certain way and get enough sleep and avoid chemicals that may increase our risk of obesity and so on.
Dr. Mays is out of time, but always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much for spending a half an hour with us, and we'll look forward to our chat in May already. Where has this year gone, right? Thanks,
Thank
Dr. Mays. All right, thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mays, you can find out more about her on her website, victoriamaysmd.com. Follow her on Twitter at vmayses. She is the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, and we're also honored that she is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. We'll be right back. It's the midpoint of Buckmaster and the Midweek Edition on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. Midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Midweek edition, starting to think about the weekend. How about a little road trip? Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, specifically the southwestern portion of the Land of Enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the complete listing of the many great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. The award-winning writer Nina Burley, who covers politics for Newsweek and is a New York Times bestselling author of five critically acclaimed works of creative nonfiction. Her sixth book is titled Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women. That was published last October. Nina is a fellow of the Explorers Club. She has covered stories on six continents and has published works about the Arctic and Antarctica and the Amazon. She's written numerous cover stories for Newsweek, including several on President Trump, including her cover story on President Trump and the women in his life. Nina was born and educated in the Midwest. She has been based in Washington, D.C., New York, and Paris, and has traveled extensively in the Middle East and lived actually in Italy and France. And she's with us now on the live line. Nina, how are you?
Good. How are you? Boy, that's what happens when you write your own PR.
Hey, I try to be very good to my guests here on the Buckmaster Show.
It
was a pleasure to meet you at the Tucson Festival of Books, where I interviewed you about the new book. What's been the reaction to Golden Handcuffs?
Well, everywhere I go to talk about it, audiences are sort of on the edge of their seat trying to understand things about the women in this president's life, and they have to be shooed out of the bookstores at the end of the night because they want more. People are really interested in it, and I think it's because of the fact that Trump's election really was first and foremost an utter shock and insult to women in terms of the way that the campaign against Hillary Clinton, whether or not you liked her, was waged in such a misogynistic fashion, followed by the revelations in that tape, the Billy Bush tape, and then followed again by the, I now I think about 19 women accusing Donald Trump of various behaviors ranging from harassment to actual assault. And I think people are fascinated by the women who remain by his side, the women who are his wives, ex-wives, daughters, and his mother and his grandmother, who are the subject of my book, Golden Handcuffs.
How has it all played out as you look at this and you did all your research and you look at the way the White House is a lot of people would say, in chaos right now. I mean, how does all of this play out in your eyes after what you know and what you've researched?
Well, I mean, my research was a slice of Trump world. You know, we always talk about chaos in the White House since he's been elected because you know, there's so much norm smashing going on, and you know, clearly it is a chaotic situation from day to day because this president is, you know, not like others. He's mercurial, you know, has authoritarian tendencies, makes a call on what he wants to do, and then the next day changes his mind and does something else. And so that's why people say it's chaotic. On the other hand, you know, I think there's some method to the madness. I think that the president has certainly been effective in getting Republicans what they wanted. And, you know, perhaps some of your listeners are aware of that and are perfectly happy with it, because he did get the tax cut. He has taken, you know, great strides towards dismantling Obamacare. And those are things that were, you know, that the Republicans really wanted. And he also has open public lands, you know, out in the West. I know that's a big issue for people, open public lands for drilling and other resource extraction. And he has put in charge of agencies like the EPA, lobbyists for the pesticide industry. So you're taking down a lot of regulations that maybe people were, you know, some people in this country thought were hindrances to doing business. So I think he's been effective for Republicans. And I think, you know, the bullying and the personal smear attacks and all the tweeting and so on that makes it seem so chaotic also frightens Republicans away who might be wanting to stand up and say, okay, enough is enough. You know, we got what we wanted. Now let's stop, you know, abusing people on tweet and so on. But I think, you know, that's one thing. And the other thing is the women. And, you know, I think that since Trump was elected, I always say, you know, he is responsible for a resurgence in feminism, in women's solidarity, in women, especially the quote Me Too movement, where women started to step forward and say, you know, this man did this to me, and you know, and horrendous stories coming out of, you know, the media and you know, Hollywood, where women are talking about things that happened to them, whereas they never had talked about them before. And I think that is directly related to the election of a president who is, you know, whose campaign was such a slap in the face to women. And I think that the response has been, you know, women can't take him down, but they're taking down all of these other powerful guys who behaved in you know, oafish or worse ways.
Nina Burley is with us. She covers politics for Newsweek. She's the author. Her newest book is Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women. The Me Tooism world we live in, how do you think that will affect not Donald Trump specifically, but how it will affect Joe Biden? The New York Times today has a story, Nina, that Biden has what they believe is a clear path to the Democratic nomination. Is this Me Tooism not sticking to Joe?
Well, I think there's what's going on in the Democratic Party, and I've written about this for Newsweek, actually, is that it's the unspoken sort of issue for them is, must we run a white male to beat Donald Trump? And of course, that's what's going on. I mean, there are lots of people in this country and in the Democratic Party who maybe aren't saying that outright, but they feel like they have to run a white male in order to beat Donald Trump. And so Joe Biden is sort of their greatest hope. I did a big cover story on this a couple weeks ago called it's about white identity politics. And it delves really deeply into this, about whether the Democrats must do that or whether they must sort of follow the other wing of their party, which is all about diversity. And I think that, you know, there are clearly two paths to winning. And one is the one that they're going after with Biden is to try to win back moderate Republicans, or, you know, whites who maybe were attracted to some of the, white identity, politics that Trump has peaked and played with so much. And we're not talking about people who are members of the KKK, but people who maybe respond to things like, you know, white people are being put upon, or, you know, whites are threatened because our power is threatened, because our numbers are dwindling in this country with Latin Americans pouring in. And Trump has been playing on that. And so people responded to it. And so the question is, do the Democrats need to put a white male up there? Now, the other sort of way to look at it is, you know, the Democrats' base, the people who they can always count on, who vote sort of never have to be provoked, really, to vote are black females. The black female vote is sort of the base. It's almost like the white evangelicals for the Republicans, and of course Democrats can count on single women and suburban women who moved away from Trump in the midterms. That's one of the reasons why they got so trounced. The Republicans were trounced because women who had voted maybe for him or sat home were so revolted that they came out and voted against him. So my thinking on this is that the Biden clear path to the nomination may not be the clear path to the White House, because the Democrats will need to motivate women and black women. Mm-hmm. And with when somebody has, you know, I've interviewed Joe Biden, and he's very gaff prone in his conversations. He's an older guy, and he says things that are not, they're politically incorrect, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with that. A lot of people, but I think that when you put somebody like that up for a public, you know, at this day and age, you put somebody up that you're going to have a problem possibly motivating the very people that you need to have to come out and vote. Not that they won't, not that they are hated, they'll hate on him, but they might not be as motivated. So there are two paths to victory. And I think the Democrats maybe will take this path, and it may be the safer path. I don't know.
All right. Nina Burley will stick around for another segment, 790-2040. Any questions for Nina or comments? We will talk with Nina as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. She covers politics for Newsweek, and she is the author. Her newest book is Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women. When we return, who was the most influential woman in Trump's childhood? We'll hear about that from Nina as we continue on the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's place for trusted local news and talk.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by my favorite nursery in town. It's Green Things. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The 13-acre site is now home to Zocalo. All that great merchandise, handmade merchandise, some of these desks and chairs from Mexico and all over Latin America, really beautiful. Tour the five shops at Zocalo Village, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, and go to greenthingsaz.com. With us on the live line is Nina Burley. Nina covers politics for Newsweek. We've been talking a little politics and a little bit about her book. I want to talk more about Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women. A couple of weeks ago, the president really surprised a lot of people in a new... It's pretty hard to surprise anybody about what Donald Trump does, but it really surprised the interviewer when he said that his father came from Germany, and that is just not the case. His grandmother and grandfather did. In fact, you talk about extensively about his grandmother and what an influence she was on his life. Were you surprised about the German father remark?
No, not really. I mean, I think, you know, he just talks off the top of his head, and his father is German, full-blooded German, and probably spoke German with his mother. His Trump's grandmother was an off-the-boat German, so was his grandfather. And when his grandfather died of the Spanish flu, leaving this German, young German woman a widow in the 1920s, with three children, she started the Trump Organization. She incorporated it. That's written out of the history because, you know, women aren't, that's not part of their, the Trump organization. It's not one of their prides, let's say that. But it's, but Fred Trump, his dad, would have been speaking German to his mother, and that mother, Elizabeth Trump, lived well into her 80s and was part of that family when Donald was growing up until he was 19 or 20 when she died. So there was a German-speaking grandmother in the household, a stern, you know, woman who was very into cleanliness and efficiency and so on, and she was one of the formative sort of influences on the female side in Donald Trump's life. The other one, of course, is the mother. His mother, a Scottish immigrant who came here, basically grew up in muck boots, the 10th child of a fisherman on an island closer to Iceland than to London, took a steamer here and ended up working as a maid in the Carnegie Mansion when she was in her teens. Again, another amazing up by the bootstraps immigrant story, which you don't hear the Trumps talking about very much.
So let me ask you, kind of bottom line, why the seemingly problem with women for President Trump?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think in that family, his father, you know, was a patriarch and a misogynist of that era. That sort of he had his own mistress and he treated his wife rather shabbily. He also had a kind of a horror at female biology. He forbade the use of the word pregnant in the Trump family home. So Trump kind of grew up with this kind of like an African villager, you know, shaman's horror at female biology. So that's part of it. I think he has a kind of a fear of women, but also it's also, you know, his ideal when he was in his 20s and onward was Hugh Hefner. The, you know, that's the side of the 60s that Donald Trump kind of adhered to, not the anti-war hippie side, but, you know, the guy with the harem of chicks and, you know, all of them having plastic surgery and dyed their hair to look like the girl next door. And, you know, that's the woman, that's the ideal woman in the Trump, in Trump's world. And so his relationships with women are really kind of odd. Let's just say that, but not entirely unusual, not unheard of. You know, it's the 60s, you know, the free love was great. He wasn't an anti-war guy, but there is that. And so, you know, the place for women in that society was not particularly having access to power.
Getting back, we talked in the first segment with you, Nina Burley, about Joe Biden and how some on the Democratic side think that they need to kind of put up a white man running against Trump. How do you think this is all going to play out on the Democratic side? I mean, what do we have, 20? God, I think it's like 20 possible candidates.
Yeah, they're not going to all fit on a debate stage. It's just going to be, I mean, people ask me that all the time.
Well,
who, you know, they're always talking about who do you support, or you know, who's going to win, and who should I support? And I just say, look, who could have predicted at this time of year in 2015, so 4 years ago, that Jeb Bush wasn't going to be the nominee for Republicans. I mean, that was where the big money was going. And you know, you only understood after that first debate where there were, you know, 18 dwarves on stage or whatever. Remember that first debate in late August of 2015? I still remember sitting there watching it, and Donald Trump just wiping the floor with everybody there. And you couldn't take your eyes off him. What's he going to do next? Oh, my God, did he just say that? Whoa, he just said that. And so that moment will happen when the Democrats have their debate. That's what I tell everybody. That's the moment. That will be that's when you will see who has the thing. And the thing is, you have to be telegenic in this society and in our era to win the presidency. You have to have you know, these abilities to convey you know, all your charms and wit on television, and you have to be quick, and you have to be somewhat attractive. And so we shall see. You can't tell. I mean, I have some ideas from watching certain people talk who's going to rise, but you really don't know. I mean, it could be Marianne Williamson, for all I know. Could be somebody's going to get up there and be the person who you can't take your eyes off, and that will start to whittle down and winnow the field, and then we'll have a conversation. But as of right now, I don't think we can tell.
There are so many candidates. I think they're going to do it over two nights, the first televised debate. So.
Are they? I
haven't
heard that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, Nina Burley with us, award-winning writer covering politics for Newsweek. Is there any indication, I'm quickly running out of time, Trump has played, President Trump has certainly played to that 35 or 40%, his hardcore base. He's pretty much based his presidency around what makes these people what they want to hear. Any indication, is that going to be enough to win to re-election, that 35 to 40%?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're ways off. I think that the midterms showed that, you know, there's a surging reaction to him. The midterms, historic turnout indicates that people were responding in an anti-Trump way, but the Republicans kept the Senate. Of course, the House was transformed. So it's hard to tell. I mean, he can't win just with 35%. He's got to attract people who are beyond that 35% to win. But we'll see. I don't know if you know, Trump fatigue syndrome will have set in, or if people will be perfectly happy because the economy still hums along, and you know, what are all the things that he's done that have hurt, let's say, farmers with his tariffs and so on, aren't going to backfire on him.
We're going to have to run. Nina, where can people get a hold of Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women?
Well, you can buy it at any of your online stores, Amazon, all the way down to your indie bookstores, all online. Golden Handcuffs, The Secret History of Trump's Women. It's in Audible, and it is on Kindle, and it's an absolute romp through the women around him, and it's funny, and I think your listeners will enjoy reading it.
Hey, let's do it again, Nina. I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
happy to do it. Thank you for having me, Bill.
Nina Burley with us covering politics for Newsweek. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Bob Dio, my friend-geneer, engineer, producer, thanks a lot for listening. Steve Rivera is next with Eye on the Ball, his very popular sports show. Have a great afternoon and evening, everybody.